Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 5-Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I'm your host, as always, Scott Edwards, and we're back early this week because, one, a lot has happened over the past couple days, and two, this upcoming weekend has so much wrestling beginning on Friday. And if I was to release this episode on Friday, it would almost be null and void by that point. So we are back, and I am joined by Peps once again. Peps, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, I figured it's time to just rename this podcast in the Peps Star Wrestling Podcast or whatever we will call it, because I'm a regular at this point. No, I'm glad to be here as always. I hope you're well, Scott.
I love having you on. So yeah, it's become kind of a trend. It's every few weeks now, which is great. But there's so much going on, so it's only fitting that, you know, I get you on here and we talk about all that's going on. Of course, we are going to talk the 5-Star Grand Prix today. As you know, we are not reviewing match by match. If you want to hear that, go to youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. I've reviewed every single day up to day 7 on there, which of course was on Tuesday. So you go check that out. We'll be giving our update of top 5 matches or favorites or whatever so far in the tournament, because it's been a lot of shows. There's been 3 shows since the last time I recorded, so there's plenty to talk about there. Then we're going to dive into Marigold. Marigold held their big Cork and Hall show with the farewell match of Julia before the farewell match of Julia this coming weekend. Farewell Gauntlet of Julia. She had her final singles match in Japan, her final Cork and Hall match before heading to WWE, so we'll be all over that. We'll also just take a quick look ahead at the weekend, because besides Stardom and Marigold both running major shows this weekend, we also have Seedling, of course, running on Friday with Arisa Nakajima's retirement and their 9th anniversary show. We will have the Tokyo Princess Cup semifinals and finals this weekend. Mina Shirakawa's heading to England to wrestle Danny Luna and Rev Pro. There's a lot to talk about. And then a week from this Friday is Momo Watanabe heading to the United States to main event Capital Collision against Mercedes Moné. So there's a lot going on in the world of Joshi, and that's why you come here to the five-star Joshi show, so that we could talk all about it. So let's get to the five-star Grand Prix. This tournament is almost over. We have 5 days left. But boy, oh boy, has it been a long tournament. There's just a lot of matches. I feel like I've watched so much wrestling in so little time, which is funny because, like, the G1 just ended, and shout out to Zack Sabre Jr. It did indeed come home. We also have the N1 for those who follow that. I haven't really followed it, but
imagine being so stupid and watching it like me.
And then we have, of course, the Dreamstar Grand Prix coming up, which should be a lot of fun, which I'm looking forward to, which we will talk about later on. But we are talking about the five-star Grand Prix right now. We had 3 days of action featuring 2 Blue Stars only shows. You know how much those mean to me. Those are obviously my favorite shows of the tournament. Of course, I'm kidding. And we had a great Red Stars show as well. So let's look at the stats. Let's give the updated stats for the people. Of course, I am using Peps's stat sheet, which you can find on my YouTube video, youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling, because I review every single one of these shows. And this exact sheet appears on every video. Had to get the cheap plug in there. But let's look at Red Stars A. Let's talk about Red Stars A first today. Red Stars A has not been great. It's been very underwhelming. The third best block so far in terms of quality, and that's kind of by default because obviously Blue Stars B is not good. But here is how it breaks down. Micah sits at the top with 8 points. She is obviously. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Pause. Yes.
I'm trying to think of her matches. No, this is me thinking. This is not anything you did. Has beaten Ruaka, Konami, Yuna Mizumori, and Natsupoi. So she has rolled on undefeated as a professional. She is the only undefeated wrestler left in this tournament, which we'll get to. Hazuki now up at 6 points, as well as Natsupoi at 6 points. Minami sits at 5, while Konami, Ruaka, and Yuna Mizumori all eliminated from the tournament. So that's right, folks. Another pick I made, gone from the tournament. Shouts out to Konami. Listen, it's called the reverse jinx, okay? And it worked. I got Konami out. I've gotten a lot of people out, okay? So everyone should be proud. Everyone should be happy of what I've accomplished here today. It wasn't on purpose. I really did think at least Konami or Momo would make it. Neither are. So take that hate. But what has been your feelings regarding the Red Stars A block Peps and their overall performances?
I want to say, I love to praise myself here on this podcast because I always do that. In the preview to this podcast, you will always, it's too late to watch it, but you can still watch it because I was.
Please don't watch it. We were really wrong.
Yeah, I pretty much said that it's not a good plug, and it was the lowest on us three, so Scott and Dylan, and I stand correct here. And it's sadly for different reasons than I thought. I just thought, yeah, the matchups on paper just don't look good, but the matches between the top names should deliver. But let's be real.
Yeah,
I don't think there were more than 2 matches I would say were spreadsheet worthy, how people call it, like a 7 out of 10, in my opinion, at least. And the matches between the top stars itself, especially the Konami matches, all undelivered highly. The match against Hazuki was not good, and the match against Natsupoi was, how can I say in a nice way? I wanted to give up watching it midway through. it was terrible. No, it was not terrible, but it was really not good. And it sucks because, like I said, the top of this block looks good. Yunamon is by far the best performer in this block and the only one who tries, apparently. So definitely something good out of this.
She sure is. She has been an absolute killer. As I like to go to my rating, she is the highest rated on average at a 3.19. That's not great for anyone that
she has a 3.13 for me, but
her match with Hazuki over this weekend is my favorite match from the entire block. This block features Micah, Hazuki, and Natsupoi. Now, I will say, Hazuki has not faced either of those two yet. Do I expect at least one of those to be good, if not great? Yes, I do. But still, it is shocking where we are with this block. Natsupoi has put her entire focus into limb targeting and doing her arm bar, which I don't like. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I have not enjoyed the Natsupoi run, which is highly... It's very unfortunate, actually, because usually, she has a very good tournament. Now, she has the Hazuki match on the final day. I expect that to be her best match, which I expected to be her best match, to be fair, heading into this. And I'm hoping the Minami match... Because the Minami match is in Sendai on Friday, and that is like the only match that has a shot of getting cheers because of obviously Minami being a Sendai Girls wrestler. So I'm holding out hope there, but obviously this tournament is down to four with three. By the time I record this, we will know the finals of each block. But, you know, next time I record one of these episodes, so that's a lot. We're going to know who is in. If I had to give my guesses right now, I'm rolling with Micah and Hazuki. Confidently Micah, obviously. She's undefeated so far. But I think Hazuki gets in by beating Natsupoi on the final day.
Yeah, I would need to do the math how like the whole thing plays out. But it's pretty much whoever wins between Hazuki and Natsupoi goes through. So,
yes.
Together with Micah.
Yeah, and I think that's my preference. I was right about that. That is the two that I did call. Now let's go to Red Stars B, where Momo Watanabe, Sayahida, and Tam Nakano all eliminated from the tournament. Obviously, I talked at nauseam last week about the direction with Tam and how I'm feeling. That being said, now that I know what we're doing with Tam, I am very confused. It's an interest, like, here's the funny thing about the Tam Natsuko story that we're doing. I'm very intrigued by the matches they're doing. I don't love the idea that Tam might go 0-5 and then potentially win the World of Stardom title. It's a very confusing story in terms of like, what is the end goal to this? My favorite thing that someone said to me, which was Trent, who's been on the show a few times, Tam is working so hard right now, she's got to be getting something out of this because she is 0-4 in this tournament. Obviously, she has a title match, but she's got to be getting a title sooner than later because this has been some of her best work in quite a while, but it's like... It's just been an insane run for her in every way other than, you know, winning, which
okay. I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
Do you think Momo Watanabe gained anything from beating Tam Nakano?
No.
Do you think May Sarah gained anything from beating Tam Nakano?
When was that?
No, she did shit. It was Azumi on the Kurikan.
No, because you know why I'm going to say no, and this has nothing to do with Azumi. I was just defeated. I was defeated that Tam was eliminated, so I forgot the Azumi part. Asked me who did she beat or who she lost to, I would have been like, I don't know. I just remember being so locked into the idea of, oh, she's out.
And there's a problem with her booking. Yeah. Winning against her doesn't mean anything anymore. At least right now. So, in that regard, if Tora beats Tam, it gains nothing for Tora, and it doesn't hurt Tam because Tam's already a loser. It just, well, you are a loser, but now you lost another match, and it's like, you know, she doesn't lose anything if she's losing, except for maybe you know, Tora jumping down on her once more and saying, "Hell, I beat you." Yeah, you know, her Tam Nakano, who's on a losing streak. So the end goal is probably Tam winning. And
yeah,
I'm unsure how to feel about it. I'm unsure how the match is going to work out because a 15 to 20 minute long Natsuko Tora legwork match doesn't sound interesting to me.
No, it's really weird because I've really enjoyed Tam's matches. I enjoyed the story of the Momo match of, you know, her just trying to fight against the hate and aspect of it and everything, but it's really hard to go into that title match feeling a certain way because of what you said. It's like there's not really a gain for Natsuko, and at this point I feel like most people believe Tam's winning. If she loses, then the follow-up has to be something like very dramatic. And I don't know what that is. I wish I had the answer to what that would be. So we obviously have to wait for that. But it's been a weird, weird run for Tam. It's, you know, but I can't say much more about it because
yeah,
we're just kind of settled into this spot for now.
It's interesting because it changes not only the entire GP, but also the year-end schedule. New Japan, just to quickly bring it up, have now jumped away from the tradition of the Wrestler Kingdom challenger being decided with the G1 Climax, which means Stardom has planned it last year, you know? There's just a good chance that Tam is still the year-end challenger without winning the GP.
Right.
So there's a lot of interesting options they have. If she loses, she's probably going to put her career on the line in the next title match and then wins it.
Yeah, because that would...
You got to give her something.
That would have to be it. I don't know what the full Tam direction is right now. I am interested. I will give them that. I am interested just to see how this all concludes. Her work has been really strong. But, you know, Red Stars B overall has been really strong. And obviously the big match from this past weekend was Azumi beating Mayu Iwatani, becoming the first wrestler to beat Mayu Iwatani in a one-on-one match this year, ending her undefeated streak in 2024. That match was great. It was awesome. It was everything that represents Red Stars B so far. I thought it was Azumi's best effort in the tournament, and Mayu just has been on another universe for me in this tournament. Not really a shock. I understand who I am and how I view Mayu matches, but it's just been, it's almost been unfair. And she's got Mei Sara and Tomoka Inaba left, which are very interesting matches, considering one, how good both of them have done, and two, they're new opponents for Mayu. So I'm very interested in those. And then we also have Mei Sara and Tomoka both in the tournament. So the four remaining in Red Stars BR, Azumi, Mayu Iwatani, Mei Sara, and Tomoka, with Azumi leading at 8 points. Azumi only has one match left. That's with Saito on the final day. So I'm unsure who's advancing, but my safe bet is Mayu and Azumi.
I have the feeling, and I will be totally wrong here, Tomoka has two left, right? She has Tam and Mayu.
Tam and Mayu.
Could we have a
free time? If we're assuming she's beating,
Could we actually lead you to a freeway tie between Azumi, Mei Sara, and Tomoka in second, and Mayu goes first?
I could see it.
Because that would at least play off the draw situation, so they have a main event match in a freeway with the winner goes through.
Yeah, yeah,
I that could that. Be the possibility I've been eyeing on. But then it's you see the problem is there's Tam Nakano. If Tam Nakano randomly starts winning,
I don't think we have to worry about that.
Wouldn't be surprising.
I don't think we got to worry about that.
Yeah, her next match is against Tomoka, which is pretty much speaks for itself. That's going to be either Tam wins via roll up or she taps out.
Yep. So are we assuming? So okay, let's talk this through. So Azumi just
Mayu wins her next two.
Maya beats May Sarah and Inaba. Inaba beats Tam. May Sarah beats Tam.
May Sarah beats Tam, and Azumi loses to Ida.
Ida. Okay.
And it would be 8-8-8.
And it would be 8-8-8, a three-way tie, because they all drew with each other. Right.
That's at least what they will play up with.
Okay.
The question then is if you know, it's Saida.
Right. Saida could just lose, for sure.
Yeah.
Or Tam could just win. Interesting conversation. This is true. I think it's actually, funny enough, I think the scarier threat is Ida here over Tam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now Tam could always beat one, and they could do a tie between a Azumi and May or Azumi and Inaba. I could see that as well.
Yeah, it feels like at least that you need to bring it up on the final day if you're drawing three people against each other, that you at least need to make it a possibility until the very last match that we could see a three-way tie here.
For sure.
New Japan did it last year where they teased a playoff match between Shingo Takagi and Tama Tonga, but then Evil just won. So
I could see them do a playoff match. It feels like it's in the question. And honestly, it feels like it's likely at this point. But we will wait and see.
We also thought that Tam is going to run for his GP.
Yeah, this is true. Ida, if Azumi wins, she's in. Mayu, I expect to win both her matches. So it comes down to Azumi winning. If that doesn't happen, then it's kind of open season here. But that's exciting. And I think Red Stars B, if they want to add an extra match to this block, I'm not going to say no because of how good it's been.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Then we have Blue Stars A, Sayuri Ano, with one match left, sits at 7, Starly Kid at 5, Anna Jay, who is the only eliminated from the block officially, is at 4, Koguma is at 4, Shuri is at 4, Zena's at 4, and Miyu Amasaki is sitting at 2. Miyu Amasaki, the only reason she's still in is because she still has Shuri and Starlight Kid, which technically could get her there. She's not gonna beat Starlight Kid and Shuri. I'm gonna just say that now. That being said, this is how it breaks down. So I'm still thinking Starlight Kid for sure.
On the last day, on a very last day, we have two spoiler matches pretty much. Kaguma could easily beat Anu.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. And what's the other one? Amazaki could just straight up roll up Shuri.
Yeah.
Because she is winning one of her last two matches.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, with Shuri... that would likely eliminate or spoil whoever of them. So
Shuri's in a tough spot. Obviously, she has the Xena match and then Amasaki. Would they? I think Shuri beats Amasaki and then Sayori loses to Koguma on the final night to get Shuri in, as well as Starlight Kid, who I think beats Amasaki and likely beats. Well, she has to beat both to get in because she does not have. Sayori beat her, correct?
No.
They went to a draw.
It was a draw. Yeah.
So they could do a playoff.
Yeah, Xena is still in play because she has Starlight Kid and Shuri left, similar to Amazaki, and she's already at 4 points. She will likely beat one of them and lose the other, and I would guess that it's the other way around with Amazaki. So Amazaki either beats Starlight Kid and Xena beats Shuri, or Amazaki beats Shuri and Xena beats... No, wait. Beats Starlight Kid. Ah, doesn't matter. One way or the other. One of them likely goes through and the other's out.
So yeah, it looks like
that is.
We are in for a potential tiebreak with Sayori and Starlight Kid, so something to watch out for there as well. And then Blue Stars B.
It's Blue a block. Stars B.
Yeah, I mean, Saikai Tani's in. We know that. I know she just lost Saki Kashima, but she's going to get in. And after that, I don't think Hanan's beating Sayaka Tani. On the final night, which is why I think Suzu will be the one that gets in between the two, between Hanan and Suzu. Yeah. So that's kind of where
Suzu goes through by beating Rana and Tekla beating Risa Serra, likely.
Yes. So that is everything for standings as we head into the final 5 days of this tournament. I will be back next week before the final to talk all about it. Before that, Peps, what have been some of your favorite matches in this tournament so far?
I will count out... Well, I could just name the entire Red Star B block, but that would be kind of boring, but yeah, you know, the obvious ones from there. I liked Hazuki versus Yunamon a lot from Red Stars A. From Blue A, it's kind of okay. I like the opening match between Starlight Kid and Shuri, but a match I really enjoyed was Anna Jay against Xena for some reason. I just want to bring it up because I called it also that it would likely be Anna's best match, and it was correct here.
Yes, it was.
By far her best match. And Red Star B, can we just not talk about this block?
Yeah, I don't have a favorite match from that block, so...
Oh, it's bad. I don't know if there's a match above 3 stars. But...
No, it's been rough. In terms of from this past weekend, I know I put my top 5 out there. I don't remember what I said, but Azumi and Mayu Yutani have joined my list. So Mayu has
like the top 4
matches. Yeah, Mayu has 4 matches and all 4 are in my top 5. So there you go. I really like Starlight Kid and Sayori at Korakuen.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
I really liked that match. That's probably my favorite non-Red Stars B match. I like that's how we say things. Oh, it was my favorite from the rest of the tournament, which has had a lot of matches. Hasn't been. And then, you know, Shuri and Starlight Kid was good, too. On the opening
that's like the big problem they need to fix next year. I mean, with the G1 was always like, yeah, the one block is stronger than the other, but the difference between the blocks were never as big as between some of them here.
And we kind of knew that going in. It's just, it's almost impressive how one-sided this tournament has been in terms of which blocks are the best.
My MVPs are like Red Star Spee, and then it's Starlight Kid, and the low MVPs are just five of Blue Star Spee, and then it's like Raka.
That's and a, exactly and energy. Mine, by the way. That's exactly how mine is. My MVPs in order, for everyone that's listening. Mayu, Tam, Saida. That's hilarious. Momo, Azmi, Tomoka, and then Starlight Kid. Oh, sorry, Maesara is somewhere in there too. Maesara is fourth on mine.
It's Mayu, Tam, Azmi, Ida, Momo, Mei, Tomoka. At least you agree on the top and the bottom.
So it's we have the same top. To be fair, we have the same top eight MVP list because Starlight Kid's also there. Sayori's right behind Starlight Kid, to be fair. I'll give her
some credit. It's Sino than Anu for me. Yeah.
Sayori's a very good tournament wrestler.
I just want to bring up Suzuki's in this block, is in this tournament, right?
She sure is. She's been, for me, the best in her block of bad, if that matters. It doesn't, because it's everyone in that block is sub three. And as I've said on all my reviews, if you are sub three, you are not having a good tournament. You are having a bad tournament. And a lot of people are sub three. So take that for what you will. Anyways, let's move on to, like I said, the upcoming schedule is as follows. On Friday in the Sendai Pit, it's Micah versus Suzuki, Natsupoi versus Minami, Konami versus Yuta Mizumori, and then Mayu Yutani versus Maesara, Tam Nakano versus Tomoka Inaba, and Saida versus Momo Watanabe. So that should be a solid day, depending on how Sendai wants to act. Then we have Shuri versus Zeno, which could be the best match of the Blue Stars in full, truthfully. We have Starlight Kid versus Miyu Amasaki, and Koguma versus Anna Jay. We have Sayaka Tani versus Su Suzuki, Hanan versus Rana Yagami, and Tekla versus Risa Sarah. On the 25th, this upcoming Sunday, we have Micah versus Minami, Hazuki versus Natsupoi, and Raka versus Yuna Mizumori, as well as Mayu Yutani versus Tomoka Inaba, Tam Nakano versus Maesara, Saida versus Azumi, and on the Blue Star side, it's Sari Ano versus Koguma, Shuri versus Miyu Amasaki, and Xena versus Starlight Kid. In the Blue Stars block, it's Su Suzuki versus Rana Yagami, Saya Kamatani versus Hanan, and Saki Kashima versus Tekla. And by the time I'm back on this show, the quarterfinals at Shinjuku Face have happened, which are Red A1 versus Red B2 and Red A2 versus Red B1, and then Blue A1 versus Blue B2 and Blue A2 versus Blue B1. So
can we quickly just minute? Can we talk about what insane matches could happen in Shinjuku Face?
I know.
Their first time ever matches that straight up could happen here, that we have, or like major title, potential major red or white belt matches could happen here. It's insane.
Yeah, so Mayu Tani versus Suzuki is a grand possibility for that show, which is pretty crazy to think about. Micah versus Azumi.
Yeah.
Yep, which is a big one. And then on the other side, you're probably going to have
Starlight Kid Kamitani.
Starlight Kid Kamitani, which is a big one, obviously.
Or Shuri Kamitani, yeah.
And then Shuri and then maybe Shuri and Suzu.
Yeah.
That's a big time day. That's how the Blue Stars block becomes decent, is that you mix the best. You know, how do we get Suzu back to top tier level? You make Shuri kick her in the face. That is the solution. Hopefully. That's what I'm hoping for. But that is your five-star Grand Prix update. It's been a long tournament, but we keep rolling on. Let's get to Marigold now. Marigold had a very busy week. They announced the blocks for the Dream Star Grand Prix. They announced the schedule for the Dream Star Grand Prix. That all kicks off on the 31st. Next week will be the preview. That will be a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk about that. Looking forward to discussing that. I might do that in an entirely separate video, honestly, because of how much five stars going on, kind of like I do with the five star Grand Prix preview. So look forward to that. But we will talk about it here today, as well as the Cork and Hall show that took place on Monday. It was a packed house for what would be Julia's final Cork and Hall match. The show also had the first title defense in Marigold history, with the United National title on the line. And we had an Arisa Nakajima appearance. We had a rookie debut. We got to meet the newest rookie. So let's get into it. Before we get into the actual show, how did you enjoy the Cork and for Marigold this time around?
I thought it was pretty good. It had a slow start. The first three matches were fine. Then when we kicked in with the Arisa Nakajima match in Marigold, the first and the only one, then it got pretty good. The main event, of course, was by far the highlight of the show. I think this should be obvious.
Yeah, so this was, I really enjoyed this show. Obviously, it's the big three that we're going to talk about here. But yep, we kick off at the top of the show. Yuki Minami made her Marigold debut, her official re-debut. She had been in Ice Ribbon previously. And she defeated Kamala Minami. I don't take a lot from debut matches unless the debutee is wrestling against a veteran, which this obviously was not the case. So it was really hard to take much for me from this. I thought Yuki Minami and Komomo had like a very rookie match. No one really necessarily shined to me. It was just kind of there. I think both of these wrestlers are going to be in the undercard for quite a while. Maybe for a very long time, but you know, that's okay, because not everyone needs to be a superstar. That being said, I'm not going to assume anything. It's, again, these two wrestlers combined have very few matches, so it's hard to say too much about them. In terms of Yuki Minami, her getting the win, I wasn't too shocked just because she had previously debuted. Same went with Rhea Seto beating Kimono Minami when she debuted for Marigold, so I wasn't too shocked there.
It also tells a little story with Kamamo Minami as well that you can bring up with the next rookie that will debut sooner than later. I'm considering it was set to have multiple. General, we know of at least three more rookies that will debut, and it's much more apparently than that. You can easily tell a little story that with Kamamo that she will try to challenge the next rookie again in the debut match, and maybe she wins that one, and that's going to be her big star from moving to losing everything to at least win some matches or something. So there's at least some interest here with Komomo coming out of this.
Yeah. I think it's a good underlying story to tell on these shows, which I think you're absolutely right about. That is what they're going for. And with so many trainees, it'll be interesting to see we know which one rookie that's about to debut, so let's talk about it. So Marigold held a press conference over the weekend, which is worth noting. It kind of just happened. It wasn't like, kind of felt out of nowhere, but they introduced Sayuri Yamaoka, who is a 17-year-old freestyle amateur wrestler who has been wrestling for years, in school. And she will officially debut at January 3rd, Marigold First Dream at Ota Ward. So not only is she just being introduced, she is someone that already has her debut day set for their first major show of the year next year. She placed second in the 54-kilogram class at the 2021 National Junior High School Selection Championships, won first place in high school lightweight class at the 2022 All-Japan Beach Wrestling Championships. She seems, based off of, if you follow Fuka's blog, she is the golden rookie that she was talking about. They have very, 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 very high hopes for her. That's why she's debuting at First Dream. Obviously, everyone should be excited. She also introduced herself on the show, like I said. And she wants to make Marigold bigger. Her inspiration is Julia. So, for anyone that, you know, wants to keep track, who is another big-time wrestler that debuted as their inspiration left? That of course, is Utami Hayashishita, who had debuted once upon a time with Io Shirai walking out the door. So, Seiri is here, and she is the name to follow moving forward for Marigold starting in 2025.
Yeah, she will get a big push pretty quickly if she's as good as they promise. I mean, considering, you know, how Utami was at the beginning and how high they pushed her, it should be no question that Rossi will push her highly quickly. Her sister is well known, I would say. She was part of the audition of the Mayu Vitani movie. She was in the ring as well. She was the one that gave Shuri the trophy after she won the World of Sudden Championship, her sister, that is. So the family has been around stardom, or at least in some capacity, for quite a while now. And now seeing the sister, the little sister, following Rossi now to Marigold is an interesting development. And it could lead to maybe one of the most promising rookies we have seen in quite a while. So I'm excited for her. Big show already set up. She will be 18 by then, and then, you know,
the worst thing
that can happen is that she's, you know, takes some time. But with that background, with everything nationalist in wrestling, amateur wrestling, that's insane. That's insane. Yeah. Highly level. So she will deliver.
Very determined already, which is always good from a rookie. And the fact that she has a date to work towards is very exciting. I'll just say this. We won't go too much more on her because she's not going to be someone to know about too much for another few months. I would debut her against a Utami or a Mirai. I understand his First Dream. It's going to be a big show, but I'm putting her in there with someone big night one. Because I think it's the best. Nanai is obviously a great choice.
Yeah,
well.
No, I think that's an obvious choice.
Injection right off the bat. I was only thinking the other two, or I was thinking Utami specifically because it feels like it's the first super hyped rookie in a long time. And
the background could fit as well. Utami's someone who can't go on the mat, and as we know, the new rookie is an amateur wrestler, so you got to give her someone that at least can go on the mat.
Yeah, Nanai can be a little scary for her debutee. That's why I worry a little bit. Like, I want her to be able to show something like the ground wrestling, and I think that's going to be very important for her. But I'm very excited for Seiri. She'll be debuting, like I said, at First Dream. But we'll move forward here.
She's going to wrestle Julia.
That I think she will eventually, but I don't think it'll be there.
I just wanted to make the joke because of the crown wrestling.
It was necessary. It's okay. It was necessary. We have Mitsu Matsui defeating Natsumi Shizuki and Nao Ishikawa when she got the flash pin on Ishikawa. This continues to build the feud between Natsumi Shizuki and Mitsu Matsui. A fine three-way match. Here, you know, anytime Misa and Natsumi were going at it, it was very exciting. They're building to that second match. It's not going to happen anytime soon, but I wouldn't be shocked if they did it at maybe First Dream or something of the sort. They're not in the same blocks, so we will not be building that match through the tournament at the very least, which is good. I want to keep them a little bit separate for the next month or so. I think that'll do them a lot of good, but this was kind of just the next part of their story, right? They're continuously trying to get one up on each other, and I think it's a fine story to continue telling with both of them.
Yeah, but it's similar to Mirai versus Aono. I would be glad if we keep them apart a bit longer now again, just to keep the match. I mean, keeping the match in the head is fine, but you know, maybe it's like time. Give Shozuki post GPs someone else, and then we can round it back until year end, similar with Mirai and Ono. That's at least my hope with it, because, well, you've got to do something else with these in the long run as well. So just try build up stuff. That would be the best case now. Because you do that a lot with white belt.
Yes, absolutely. Well, yeah, the United National title is very much ahead of the times in terms of building up challengers. So I'm sure we'll get some movement in both the Marigold World Championship and the Superfly Championship in the tournament. And then we had the elimination match go to a draw with Tommy Hayashishita, Mirai, Victoria Izuki, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Bozilla, Myla Grace, State of Steel, and Chiaki, with Utami and Chiaki being the final participants for their teams. They built up Bozilla and Mirai here. They built up Utami and Bozilla here. So things to follow. The best parts of this match was when Utami and Mirai were fighting the likes of Bozilla. Poor Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Izuki got absolutely destroyed by Bozilla after pinning Myla and Zeta. So they got those two out, and then Bozilla ran through both of them. But if you've been paying attention to the Marigold shows, there is a low-key kind of push up the ladder for Chiaki going on right now. She is either winning or, in this case, being protected. Being in there with Utami at the end as it goes to a draw is a good look for her. As a big fan of Chiaki and what she brings to the table, I like seeing her make these steps up. And, you know, her tournament's going to be a big one for her. I think she's going to learn a lot through that tournament.
Yeah, and she's absolutely going to learn how to really use her heel side with the chair, because that's sometimes where she still struggles, how to really use the chair in the right moments and all of that. That's going to be something she will be learning in the GP, especially when she not has Nozaki to help and she needs to do all her stuff on her own. The match itself was fine. I didn't even know that you can draw an elimination match. Rossi outdid himself here. But, well,
it popped me good when this went to a draw. I was like, oh
yeah,
all right.
That you know, but yeah, it was a totally fine match. The beginning part was a bit rough, where they had the two rookies with Kizuna and Yuzuki pretty much spending the entire first like 7-8 minutes against Myla and Seda, where the others did nothing. That was kind of rough, but the end 10 minutes or so, once we had the final four, the last like 7-8 minutes, we were really well done. Bozilla was awesome in this at the end, where she kind of countered everything Mirai did. Mirai wanted to throw her out and she just stomped her down, which was really funny. Mm-hmm. So that was really good from her. I like Chiaki. Chiaki is good. She did well in this match. She felt like she belonged next to Tommy, which is important for her.
Yeah, I think Bozilla works best in these big venues more than the smaller ones, I've noticed. It feels very more natural for her, which is great. And she's really good in the tags. I'm really looking forward to her tournament, because I think they put her in a block where she's going to really benefit from those that she'll be wrestling with, you know, the big top three there, but we'll talk about that in a little bit here. Let's get to what I thought was definitely my favorite match of the show, even though I did love the main event as well, which was Sari and Arisa Nakajima defeating the Nai Takahashi and Chika Goto. This match was everything I wanted it to be. Absolutely everything. It was Arisa Nakajima. You know, bless Arisa Nakajima. She is retiring on Friday, yet she feels like she's in the peak of her career sometimes, and this was one of those times. She was hitting everyone with everything she had. Whether it was Nanai or Go Chika, she was hitting them as hard as humanly possible. Watching Nanai and Arisa be in the ring again together was special. This was a special moment. And Arisa is so good at just always looking like she wants to destroy someone, because you felt that. Sari, by the way, happens to have the wrist still all covered up, and you wouldn't even know. She's essentially a one-armed wrestler in this match, absolutely slugging it out. And The star of the match, I think, though, was Gocheika. The fact that she is in this match with these three, and I was able to, at least for me, stand out like she did, says so much good about her future and where she's going. When the actress girls came over to Marigold, it was Miku Anno, Natsumi Shizuki, Misa Matsui. Oh, Koki's going to be this big star. Chiaki's, you know, got a really cool vibe to her. And then it was Chika Goto, who was like the last hyped amongst those who had been following. And I don't know. Actually, I'll take that back. I know that no one has made the same amount of strides that she's made since joining this promotion. And this match, her teaming with Nanai, and that moment in the match where Arisa and Sari are just clubbing, they are just clubbing off on this poor girl. Like, this girl is sitting in the middle, she's taking a forearm, right? She's getting absolutely rocked. And that moment where Nanai comes in to save her was great, and then she goes back in to save Nanai. It was like this moment of like, okay, this is why Nanai picked her, right? And you know Nanai wanted her in this match. There's a reason she got this spot, and she deserved this spot. Obviously, she got pinned in the end, but she went in there and she did her best to hang. She is so good at fighting back and taking the worst beating possible. And then obviously, like I said, everything with Nanai and Arisa Nakajima was magic for one last time before Nakajima retires. Absolutely love this match. Everything I wanted from it and more.
Yeah, I can just agree with that. It was just what you would expect between those three. And then you had in the middle Gocheika, who just stood out and had this, well, I would say not only by far her best performance, but also a close to star-making performance for her. The crowd... Mm-hmm. has loved her at the other Kurikan Hall where in the tech title match, which a tech title tournament match where she lost, where they already cheered her name, and it got even louder here. Everything around Nanai Takahashi gets over. It's something I've noticed.
That's passion, baby.
Now Ishikawa was by far the most overmatched between most over person between her and Matsui Shozuki. Then of course Gocheika here, even though it was kind of the match layout as well. Well, also Nanae got a lot of passion chants. So these people love this act. Mai Sakurai is of course in the main event as well, and that's something you just need to acknowledge, even if you don't like Nanae's work in the ring. She just. Her entire gimmick and her entire stick,
she's so good.
helps people to get over, and that's the most important thing for someone in her age. And that's why, you know, I can't complain about this match. Seeing Arisa and Sari together one more time, since Sari's not in a retirement match, was cool. There was a beginning part. I don't know if you know the lore between this with the contract. That was a really cool moment. So when Nanai Takahashi left Seedling, Nakajima wrote her contract. It was like, you can challenge me anytime, everywhere, anywhere contract for the Seedling, the Odyssey Tag Team title. No, Tag Team Singles title. And because now it was the last time Takahashi can like cash in, she brought it with her. But Arisa Nakajima was obviously not the champion anymore, so she just ripped it apart. That she's never going to be able to cash in while Nakajima is now riding off to Sunset soon. Yeah. That was as someone who has been following Seedling, a really cool moment. And yeah, that was a great match. I can only recommend it.
Yeah, everything about this match was great. I think everyone should go out of their way to see it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Also, just worth noting, it looks like that whenever the time comes, it will be Nanai challenging Sari for the Marigold World Championship following the Dreamstar tournaments. They continuously tease that. They teased it before. They teased it after. It looks like that will be the direction, which I think is a great first defense for the title coming up. So if Nanai beats Sari in the tournament, which is very much possible, then that is the best way to set it up. But this was a great match. Everyone should go out of their way to see it. If you love Joshi wrestling, if you love tag team wrestling, this is what it's all about. And then we have the United National Championship matches. Miki Wano successfully defended it against Koki Amare in what I thought was Koki's best showing to date. I don't think this match necessarily reaches the highs that, of course, the match before it and after it had. But for a match where I went into it hoping and, you know, asking for Koki to show something and show the stride she's made, this is what I asked for. I think Miku Ano eased the match for her. She eased down her usual style and the way she usually wrestles her matches to help Koki, and it did her a lot of good. You know, there was this great point in the match where Koki does hit her finish. She crashes down onto Miku. Miku kicks out, and you just could see Koki being defeated almost. She was like, I don't know what else I can do. I've only won with this match. And that kind of creates the new story for Koki Amare moving forward is, okay, I didn't have enough in this title match. How do I get to the point where I will have enough? And I think that's kind of the beauty of the continuation of where Koki's going, right? So many people have talked about how, you know, the Matsuis and the Chiakis and the Gochikas, who, you know, tags with her, has made such strides, and Koki has been slower to grow. But this was the match I thought where it's like, okay, it's coming together now. And the more it comes together, the more you could see her in this spot again and eventually win. So I think overall it was a success, a good first defense for Miku Ano, who obviously should not be losing anytime soon. And that was exactly, like I said, it was exactly what I was looking for from this match, and especially from Koki.
Yes, absolutely. I believe, you know, I'm not the highest on Koki, and never was, because I only saw her really Marigold outside of maybe two or three matches in Actress Girls. And while she has her obvious flaws and everything, it was, in terms of performance, by far her best one, like you said, but also her most important one, because she has, at least, I would say, you know, the performance of her wasn't like outstanding great, right, or anything, right, like that. It was good, but it justified the push she's getting, at least at the beginning, of someone who has been a bit upper the mid-card, but not like close to the top names and can get title shots and everything like that, but it's not winning anything anytime soon. Funny enough, you will love this comparison because it includes one of your favorite wrestlers of all time. Funny enough, compared it to 2022 Amisore, who was in a similar situation where she came in from another promotion, funny enough, also Actress Girls, and got a little push, but the performance, you know, weren't keeping up with her push, and they continued to push her until it worked out with her, at least to some degree. And I think that's going to be similar here, where she gonna have these solid matches. Had the solid match against Saya Kamitani for the white belt. It was much better than the first, than their time limit, double count out at the GP final night. And I think that's here, it's going to be something similar for Koki, where she's going to be struggling for the upcoming months, but maybe in a year or two, you will see the improvement that she has made to be at least an upper mid-carder in this promotion that can challenge, and you don't need to worry about it. The match could be really bad.
Yeah. Yeah. She's in a block, too. Like, I like to bring this up because I do think wrestlers make great strides in tournaments. I think this is a real shot to follow this match up quickly rather than kind of getting slotted down for a little bit. She's now going to step into a tournament against the likes of an Utami, against the likes of a Mirai, and it's going to do her a lot of good. It's going to help build her against the likes of a Natsumi Shozuki, someone who I think she works very comfortably with because of, obviously, their connection from Actress Girls. So I think this is something you watch Koki and you say, okay, it's there. Like, it's there. We just have to keep molding it. We just have to keep figuring it out, but it's there. And I think that's very important for her as we move forward. And especially for Marigold, who, you know, if they go kind of like 6-for-6 with these Actress Girls, which is starting to slowly feel like they're going to, then what a win. It is worth noting, after the match, Miku Anno said she wants to face either Gochika or Mai Sakurai next for this title. Worth noting, Mai Sakurai is in her Dreamstar Grand Prix block, so maybe she gets the
upper the matches at Kurikan. So
yes,
seems like
the upper hand.
Yeah, that's the next direction.
And then we had Julia versus Mai Sakurai in Julia's final match in Marigold, except for her gauntlet. But it is her final big time match, as she was facing the woman that came over with her loyally, obviously, and that of course being Mai Sakurai, who has made strides at times, and I think over the past couple months especially, really shown her development as a tag team wrestler. And going into this match, I don't know what people expected, but I had high hopes. I had high hopes because I knew Corkin was going to be packed. I knew Corkin was going to be excited. So that gave me confidence. Also add in that this is Julia's last match, and she is trying to make Mai look like a main eventer. She even said that going into this match, and I think they accomplished the goal. This was the best performance of Mai Sakurai's career, period, end of story. I knew in my heart she wasn't gonna win. I know, but it's okay, because when you wrestle a match like this against someone like Julia, you benefit from it. And I think Mai Sakurai moving forward greatly benefits from what her performance was in this match. I'm really excited to see who she's going to, you know, become in the coming months, because, you know, now she's very clearly elevated to a main roster, not a main roster, but a main event spot. Sorry, Julia was on the mind. Main roster is something she has to deal with soon. But I think when you look at Mai Sakurai now, especially for those who may have followed her during her time at Stardom, you are watching a wrestler who has really found herself and has developed into not only a good hand, but someone that's really, really, really great when in the right situation, whether it be the tag matches teaming with Mirai or the big time match like this. And it makes my hopes for a potential match with Miku Anno for the title very high, because I think that can really be great. But considering all the damage she took in this match, she even hit a headbutt at one point. You know, she turned it on. She hit a lot of Julia moves. I'm sure she's going to kind of carry with those forward. I'm really impressed with what she did. And I think Julia, you know, this was a very Julia match, but she gave everything she could one final time. And I thought it was emotional, it was enjoyable, and it was a really great main event.
Yeah, it was pretty much a Julia best of. You got every spot that you want out of a Julia match. If you enjoy Julia, or if you come to Hurricane Hall to see her likely one final time in a real match. So at least in Japan, well, you can decide if she's going to have real matches in NXT, but that's another topic. It was a wild card bump fest for like 25 minutes or something. With everything that you want, they fought to the east sign, I believe, where as a callback to the Hana Kimura match, they had the table out because Julia loves her tables. They had the crowd brawl, everything, and it was just great for what they aimed for, right? Mai Sakurai on the other side, this was, in theory, Julia's last match, and the fans came to see Julia, and they walked out of it wanting Mai Sakurai to win this match. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal for someone like Sakumai, who is pretty much a career mid-carder to this point, now has her first title with the Marigold Twin Star that has some meaning outside of, yeah, everyone can hold the belt like the Artist of Sun belt. And what Rossi has done with Mai Sakurai in terms of booking, but also herself in terms of improving. I'm unsure if it's just now because she had time to rest and for like 2 months and had time to really train more than being on the road all the time or whatever was the reason. But she has improved steadily for like a while now. And it's good to see because the bottom half of the Marigold roster is green, so someone like Mai Sakurai, who has been called green for a long time now, stepping up is important and great, and I'm happy for her that she finally figured out after a long time of trying. She has always tried. Her pretty much her jump to DDM was, I want to become a better pro wrestler, and now 2 years later, 1 year later, when did she join DDM?
She joined DDM beginning of 2022, so 2 years later.
Oh, two years. She finally made it. So I'm glad for her. Yeah. That's you know, if she can continue that in the block, well, who even knows how high she can go at this point?
Yeah, she's made incredible strides. I'm very happy for her. She's someone that, you know, has had her ups and downs, but once she found the gimmick in Stardom, which was, you know, the ladyship gimmick, she started to gain a lot of confidence. And that confidence has, I think we saw it in full force in this match. She was confident in her wrestling ability. She was confident in herself. And like you said, the crowd was behind her in this. And I think, like I said, she didn't need to win to win. When I say that is she gained so much from having this match with Julia. She really does. And heading into the Dreamstar Grand Prix, I'm very excited to see what she does now, because there are some matches in that block that I think she's really going to shine in. This was the best singles match of her career. This was the best performance of her career. And on the other side, obviously, this was Julia's final send-off and in terms of a big singles match. And I think, you know, this is exactly what I would have wanted from Julia. She had her big spots in the match. She felt like a star in this match. The crowd was there, obviously, to see her off. And I'm very happy for her as she starts the newest chapter in her career after Sunday.
It's tough to compare the matches, but this was had the similar issues, for example, as the Serene match in some form with the typical Julia tropes, but considering what the match aimed to be, it just worked. It makes no sense to really lay it out, but it just works because it's just what you want this match to be. It wasn't meant to be a high classic main event match like the Sari match. It was to be, how do I send myself off the best and put my Sakurai over? And that's what you did, and it worked.
Absolutely. That's absolutely what she did. And I think like Bolt should be really proud of what they did. This was a very deserving main event. I think sometimes we do have that battle of like, you know, does this main event make sense? Is this fitting of the show? And especially after like the back-to-back really accomplished matches before it, will it reach the point that it was supposed to? And I think it absolutely did. I really like what Mai is doing and has done in Marigold. And I think a lot of people probably agree, like, you know, I don't know if we ever saw her getting to this point, but she is at this point, yeah. And I think it's
great to see. Yeah. The thing is about this, tell someone like a year ago, okay, no, wait, 2 years ago, that Mai Sakurai could be someone who challenges for a top two belt and people wouldn't complain. Right.
Right. So.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say 1 year ago because she was kind of the funny enough the favorite to win the Cinderella last year until she got Mirai'd, but yeah.
Yeah, that's true, which is funny because now they're a great tag team. So yeah, this was a great show. I think those last three matches are the ones you go out of your way to see if you didn't catch it yet. Obviously it's up on Wrestle Universe. But there's a Marigold does not slow down. I will give them that credit. No. They keep going. Lots of inspired booking going on right now. And obviously a lot of that has to do with the Dreamstar Grand Prix, which we'll talk about in a second here. But let's look forward to the weekend in the actually, no, you know what? We will do the Dreamstar first, then we'll look forward to the whole weekend as a whole in the world of Joshi. So Marigold did announce the blocks for the Dream Star. We have the Dream League and the Star League. The Dream League is as follows. You have Utami Hayashishita, Mirai, Natsumi Shizuki, Koki Amare, Chika Goto, Nagisa Nozaki, Victoria Yuzuki, and Nori joining that side of the field. And then you have the heavy hitters on this side, which is the Star League. You have Sari, Miku Aono, Nanai Takahashi, Bozilla, Mai Sakurai, Misa Matsui, Chiaki, and Kazuna Tanaka. Obviously an awesome field here.
Split it up perfectly. You gotta see that.
I absolutely agree. Like when I saw the Lees get revealed, I was like, oh wow, like these are exactly straight down the middle. I'm excited evenly for both for different types of matches.
Yeah, the only thing you maybe could have changed is one of Twin Towers to the other side and you switch another more worker main over there. Because the left side is more or less experience compared to the right side. But also, you know, you have Utami and Mirai, you have Shizuki, you have Nori, who kind of can be a surprise in some matches. And
I mean, you have Nozaki as a veteran, obviously.
Yeah, but I count out heel matches always in blocks.
She's going to try in at least two matches, and it's going to be great. Utami will get something out of her.
She's going to try in the matches you will win.
Yeah, exactly. Utami will get something out of her. I think, you know, it's interesting because you never know with Nozaki, but I have hopes for her. But I think these blocks, like you said, very even, very exciting. Obviously, you have Sari and Miku Aono on one side, which is pretty crazy. You have the two top champions together, which is, you know, not a unusual thing necessarily, but
You think Rossi's gonna say Rossi and puts the white belt over the red belt in GPs? He has always done that.
In terms of finishing, like in the tournament?
No, straight up head-to-head match.
I doubt it. Sari doesn't have a lot of losses. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but only three matches who she can lose to, so. And I think she lost Godzilla, so she got to lose to Aono. Except Mai rolls up.
See, her and Bozilla on the final night feels like a way to eliminate both of them.
I talked with Alex about it. It feels like a way, just to mention for the viewers, of course, who haven't seen it, the final night of the Star League is Sari versus Bozilla Miko Ono versus Nane Takahashi likely as the two matches that matter.
Yeah.
And I easily just could see Bozilla going through via draw and Nane spoils Ono or Ono spoils Nane.
Yes. Yes. It's
Sarie's not going to lose more than two matches.
No, she is not. I see Miku or Bozilla advancing, and obviously I'll preview this next week, but they've broken it down very well. I'll say, like, especially when you look at the Korakuen dates, first Korakuen date on the 16th, you have Utami versus Mirai, Shizuki versus Nori, and Gochika versus Victoria Yuzuki, then Sari versus Miku Ano, which is obviously the big one, Nanai versus Bozilla again, Mai Sakurai versus Kazuna Tanaka, Misa Matsui versus Chiaki. Then the second Korakuen, you have Utami versus Nori, Koki Amari versus Chika Goda, which is the big one, Mirai versus Natsumi Shizuki, and Victoria Yuzuki versus Nosaki. Then you got Sari versus Nanai, which is the big match I'm circling as a potential loss for Sari because of the idea of the title match that we've been teasing. Chiaki versus Bozilla, Mai Sakurai versus Miku Ano, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Misa Matsui. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. I haven't fully put my picks together yet, but you look at that last night, you can quickly figure out like how things are going to work. It's nice to have a situation where I can figure out how things are going to break down. You know, what an idea based off of certain other tournaments that I'm following where things don't always make sense.
But even then, you know, you still have, I mean, the top two matches will clearly play a role of both nights, and then you can even all four of them on both sides, maybe excluding Nozaki, can go through. But I wouldn't be surprised if Nozaki just makes it, and then you put her against a babyface. But well, it's a lot of possibilities, and that's good. You have a logical way for everyone to get to the finals, and that you can tell with a logical story.
Yep.
While it also is somewhat predictable. In a way where it's not random if someone goes through, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because exactly.
Predictable booking is good because that means that the booker has actually thought about what he's booking. I'm unsure if many of the bookers do that these days.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a very, if you look at the schedule, it's very Rossied in a good way. Like,
yeah, the promotion is Rossy. It. Yeah.
Yeah. Sari, notably not. She is going to get a little extra time to heal. She will not start her tournament until the 8th in Toyama. So just worth noting there. They are doing a split in Osaka. So Utami. So the opening day looks like this. The 31st, right? It's the 31st.
Yes, 31st Osakijon 2. First time around Osakijon 2.
Yeah, so they're doing a double. That day, you'll have Utami wrestling both Nagisa Nozaki and Chika Goto that day. Chika Goto is getting both Utami and Mirai on the opening day. Poor girl. You have Koki Amari versus Nori, Natsumi Shizuki versus Tori Yuzuki, as well as Nagisa Nozaki versus Natsumi Shizuki. On the Star League side, you have Miku Ano versus Misa Matsui, Nanai Takahashi versus Mai Sakurai, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Bozilla. And the second show has Miku Ano versus Chiaki and Bozilla versus Misa Matsui. So really exciting, really much looking forward to that. Really love how the leagues have been set up. I'll talk more about that next week.
A lot of shows are live. I've seen.
Yes.
I believe that the two shows in Miyagi, which is the Mori Oka show and the Senai Gold show, Senai show, are not live, and the Toyama show. The rest is live on Wrestle Universe.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. That they've been able to do this, obviously, like having only three shows be recorded, pretty impressive. You have obviously the two Cork and Shikiba first ring, both Osaka's, and then the finals will be live. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think everyone's looking forward to it. It's a really good tournament. So I'm looking forward to what that tournament ultimately becomes, because I think we've really put together something exciting here. And it's a great first tournament. And we'll have our first winner of the Dream Star, but I'll talk more about that next week. This coming weekend.
It's going to be Nagisa Nozaki. Thank you.
she does have a great final day match with Mirai. So it's not out of the question. That's a big, like, notable match, I think.
So
this weekend they're doing Shinkiba First Ring twice, two matches there, and the card is as followed. So on the Saturday show, it'll be Mirai and Mai Sakurai teaming up and defending the Twin Star titles for the first time against the Passion Sisters, now Ishikawa and Nanai Takahashi. Obviously, those two never got a shot in the tournament due to having to pull out of the tournament. I think this match is going to be really good because, like you said earlier, Nanai just kind of brings an incredible excitement to her in her matches. The crowds are going to be loud for those two against the champions. I think that should be really, really good. You have Utami, Miku Anno, and Koki Mari versus Chiaki, Nagisa Nozaki, and Bozilla. Then you have Natsumi Shizuki and Misa Matsui being forced to team up against Kazuna Tanaka and Victoria Izuki. Myla Grace versus Kimono Minami versus Zeta Steel, and then Gochika versus Yuki Minami. As you were saying,
I like the trio with Bozilla, Chiaki, and Nozaki.
Yeah.
That's a good trio. I wish that the Julia trio with Nozaki, Chiaki stayed for a little bit longer because
me too.
In the one it match worked. They had really cool game. Yeah, they look really cool together. But yeah, I like that they put it with Bozilla for some time for these tag matches. That looks cool. But otherwise, the main event of the show is going to be great. That's also something they've been building up in terms of storytelling for a while now, with Mai being part of the Passion Sisters and all of that. So there's some emotional connections. I like that.
Yeah, good. I'm really excited for it.
I can't watch it live, but yeah.
No, it's a packed weekend. It's really tough to have all these live shows. And then we will have... You're going to
all in. My culture now all started like 4 a.m. for me until the GP, until the end of the GP, which is not cool. So.
Oof. Yeesh. And then we have the Sunday show, also at Shikiba First Ring. We have Natsumi Shizuki, Kimono Minami, and Yuki Minami versus Misa Matsui, Zeta Steel, and Miley Grace. Mirai, Mai Sakurai, and now Ishikawa versus Chiaki, Nozaki, and Bozilla. So that trio back together again. That should actually be a really fun match because it's the ultimate baby faces versus the heels. And then this semi-main is really fun. It's Miku Anno, Gochika, and Koki Amari versus Utami Hashishita, Victoria Izuki, and Kazuna Tanaka. And then, of course, the main event will be the Julia Farewell Gauntlet as Julia finally says goodbye once and for all to Marigold and Japan. Worth noting, she did ask for Ice Ribbon Tsukasa Fujimoto to appear in her gauntlet match. She wants one more chance to go face to face and talk. Obviously, each gauntlet match is 1 minute long. There have been teases of potential surprises. Tsukasa hasn't, like, I don't believe she is openly accepted, but I do expect her to be there.
Please. I mean, it would be funny if she just no-sells it.
It would be so sad. It would make me really sad if she just didn't show. I think she will, though. So
I would guess Julia is smart enough to know that she would only call her out openly if she knows that she's coming. So
yeah, so looking forward to that. That's all this weekend. Also this weekend is the Tokyo Princess Cup semifinals, Yuki Aino versus Zara Fakir and Yuki Arai versus Ryo Mizunami. The finals will be on Sunday. So looking to crown a winner there. I'm guessing it's just gonna be Yuki Aino versus Ryo Mizunami. So that's what they're going with. And then you have the Seedling show on Friday, where Risa Nakajima officially retires. We talked a lot about that last week. She teams with Tsukasa Fujimoto against Hiroya Matsumoto and Hanako Nakamori in her final match of her career. I'll be reviewing that next week. And then Sendai Girls also has a show this weekend. Dash Chisako challenges for the Sendai Girls world title as Sayori Ano defends. Mio Momono goes against Miko Wada, Team 200 Kilograms against Veni and Minami. So that should be a good show. No idea where that's going to be. Wrestle Universe is not airing it live. Could be a video on demand. Who knows? Not going to guess, because guessing that is never a win for me. And then Mina Shirakawa will challenge for the Rev Pro Women's Championship when she goes one-on-one with Dani Luna at Rev Pro's 12th anniversary show in England. So
yeah,
that is this week in Joshi.
I met the show at Rev Pro. Going to be a cool match. Mina. Yeah, but I wanted to see Hanako, so I lost.
Well, you don't get to see Hanako scream.
There's an X in the 8-4 tag team match. Maybe we can get Hanako over. She would get a mega pop.
By you?
I mean, to be fair, I don't think the people who go to the show, most of them have like not seen any of the Rev Pro talent, so.
Good point.
Don't think the pop will be that much different to some of the other wrestlers on the show.
You're probably right. But Peps, let people know where they can find you. They already know where to find you. But let them know what you have going on and what to look out for.
Yes. So, of course, always on peps_wrestling on Twitter, you can find everything I do. I would expect that I will have a Dreamstar preview written out. The last one was for the 5-star was like 7,000 words long, so expect something similar. otherwise, there should be, you know, normally my podcast coming out all of them. I will always post on my Twitter. If you find them, you will, you know, you should listen to them, even if you don't understand them because they are in German. But yes, some of them aren't German.
Exactly. For me, you follow me at Scott E. Wrestling, as always. Check out my 5-star Grand Prix reviews over on youtube.com/@ Scott E. Wrestling. I'm probably going to do it for Mari Gold too. So if you want to continue getting those reviews, that'll be a lot easier though, because most of those are just 2 a week at most. So,
I will also do a spreadsheet for Mari Gold, pretty sure. So
yeah, we need those stats, Peps. But yeah, look out for that. Obviously, a lot's coming. This week's a lot of watching wrestling, but next week I'll have a Dreamstar Grand Prix preview written and audio, video, probably video of some sort. We'll be talking the 5-star Grand Prix in the finals next week. I hope that's it. That might be it. There's a lot of wrestling this week, so make sure you tune back in next week for this show, because we're going to talk a whole lot. But until then, so long, everybody.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.